Hey, welcome to Dysfunctional Podcast. I am your host, Jesus Figueroa at Dysfunctional of Dysfunctional.com, and let's talk movies. I got the opportunity to talk to Marshall Hilton from the upcoming movie, A Clear Shot. A Clear Shot is inspired by the true story of the 1981 Good Guy electronics store siege in Sacramento, California, the largest hostage siege negotiation ever attempted in the United States. A Clear Shot examines a bizarre turn of events as law enforcement attempts to save the hostages, as well as the emotional trials and social pressures of immigrant assimilation into the American culture. As an electronic store erupts into chaos as four gunmen storm the premise, Rick Gomez, Sacramento's police department's top negotiator, realizes he needs to talk down the gunmen and keep everyone safe, all while juggling government politics. The gunman leader doesn't want to hurt anyone, but his brother is a different story. A peaceful surrender quickly turns this sleepy city into a national tragedy.
This movie was intense. I thought it was different from other of the same genre that I've seen. What is it about this film that interested you?
Well, the main thing on it was that probably 10 years ago, I had seen the live video footage of this event that took place when it happened in Sacramento back in the 90s. It was back when Facebook was just starting, or it was on MySpace. I don't remember exactly which one, but I remember seeing this video one day, and it was the live footage that was being broadcast by a network television crew that was looking straight at the front glass window. And it also had, it was accompanied with the actual police audio of the negotiator trying to talk to these kids when that front window exploded. And then you could hear the negotiator saying, talk to me, what's going on? And you see guys running through shooting stuff. I saw that live footage and I went, oh my God, that's intense. The lady came running out. She was tied to a cord. All that shit that we did in the film was pretty much reenacted to the T. But they reenacted off the original video I saw. So anyway, I get a call from a gal that was working with production. She says, hey, you know, we got this thing. You'd be right for this, blah, blah. They sent me a script that was originally called Good Guys. That was the name of it. And then there was a little clip accompanied with it and the script. And I clicked on the link and I went, oh my God, I've seen this before. I've seen this video before. And I kind of went, and then I kind of took a deep dive and I looked at it and I went, oh my God, they're doing a movie about that shit that I saw 15 years ago. So I was really intrigued by it. And then I read it and, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And I thought it was kind of interesting because it wasn't the normal, you know, cops, gang, hostage kind of thing. There was a slant to it that was trying to tell the story about these kids and how they, why they did ended up doing what they were doing, because they were not criminals. They were just disillusioned young men that could not assimilate into the culture of the United States. They were right off the boat from Vietnam. They hardly spoke the language and they just wanted to go home. Yeah. And I go, that's an interesting angle. I like that. And so, you know, that, and then they told me that I'd be working with Mario on the film. And I said, that's cool. And we're shooting in Mexico and it's going to be in December. And there's not a lot going on in December. And I said, yeah, I'll do that. That's cool. Right. And that's how it happened.
I'm sure it's not very often you get a script that kind of matches up with stuff that you've gone through in life. Does it?
No. Well, as an actor, you're always trying to, you know, you get material and, you know, from a craft point of view, you're always looking for layers, emotional moments, events, things that have happened in your own life in whatever capacity, you know, relationships, mother, father, actual experiences, victories, triumph, pains, whatever it is. And you try and find things that are similar to the feel and to the theme of a moment that's being scripted to take you into a place mentally or emotionally that's similar to what's being written. You know, it might not be exactly the same thing, but you know what? In human beings, pain is pain. Emotional pain is emotional pain. Whatever triggers it, be it, you know, the death of your loved dog or a family member or a friend or whatever, pain is pain. it's all the same. It's just what triggers it. So, you know, you're always looking for something in pain and pleasure, okay, that works for whatever it is that's been scripted and whatever somebody says this character, right, this abstract character, should feel in that moment. And, you know, they'll say, you know, you need to be this way, you need to be here, here, whatever. A lot of times people will direct you like that. But other times it's just being able to connect on a really visceral pain-pleasure principle. You're either pleasurable or you're pain. You're fighting pain or you're trying to achieve pleasure. And as a human being, and characters that are scripted do the same thing. So we always try and find some thread that kind of fits with the story and the moment to bring life into that moment. And however you do that. So, yeah, you're always looking for things in your past to try and bring to the present.
Having had your experience with this film and, you know, what it was based on, were you able to work with the director to create your character and make him more realistic or more in tune with who you thought it should be?
Yeah, to a degree. You know, you're always working with the director. This was an interesting one because, you know, the way that Nick, you know, did the film, he was real hands off. At least he was with me, and probably with Mario and some of the others. You know, it was, you know, I saw, you know, when you know, we agreed that it was going to happen and we were going to do it and it was all done and everything. I did do some research to find out, because this Cappy guy was a real guy. And have you seen the movie?
Yeah, I saw it already.
You know, there were things that Cappy did in the film, not to give it away, that were just like, okay, I got to do that. But this guy was a real dude. And I saw pictures of him. And he was a big bear type of guy, you know, and he was very big physically, very stout, you know, had some weight on him. And so I knew that they didn't cast for type because I wasn't having to try and create that guy. Because I'm thinner and I'm different. I didn't look anything like him physically or whatever. So I know I didn't have to really deal with trying to, you know, create a person physically. So I didn't really have to deal with that. So it really just came down to just trying to get through the moments. You know, I'm trying to make it real simple. You know, I ended up kind of doing me. But if me was in a situation where I was a cop and I had to figure out a way to get those kids out of that place, right?
Yeah.
And just do it as free of all that other stuff as possible and just get in there with Mario and communicate back and forth and be in the moment and just try and figure out a way to get these guys out of there, you know? And so that's really what it did. And you know, it was great having Mario there as well because he's also a director. He's a very talented guy. And you know, you give a guy of his stature the respect, you know, and you can trust it that, you know, he wants to look good. He wants the scenes to work. We all want the scenes to work. And it gave me the ability to bounce things off of him as well when we talked about the scenes or when we were in the moment, because we kind of, you know, we kind of parsed through some of the stuff and throw out some of the dialogue that just didn't seem to make sense. You know, maybe it got a little wordy and, you know, it wasn't really needed. And he knows what he's doing and I know what I'm doing. But it was nice to have him there to be able to kind of cut through the, you know, some stuff that might not have been needed or wasn't terribly clear and trust that, you know, he's going to make a good decision for us. And he bounced things back and forth. You know, my biggest issue was trying to make sure that I didn't play the classic character, you know, like all the 80s movies, the angry sergeant, right? The angry mayor, you know, that angry guy and have him be kind of one dimensional, just kind of a ball buster and kind of surly and nasty. You know, that would have been the easy choice. And so I worked, you know, to try and make him kind of evolve into becoming an ally for Gomez rather than an antagonizing guy for Gomez.
Yeah, and you've played several different law enforcement before in your career. So how does that compare to this role?
You know, they have different, they were written in different ways. You know, like I was just mentioning, some guys will write where they just want that crusty, ball-busting, antagonizing guy, and that's his that's what he fulfills in the script. He's there to challenge and be an impediment to another character. That's his job. Okay. They'll write it like that. And then some guys will write it to be more of a friend. It's either a friend or a foe. You're either helping somebody or you're getting in the way of somebody. And Cappy was written to not necessarily get in the way, but to challenge this character, and then eventually become his ally so they can both work together. So it was different in that way. You know, other guys have been just, you know, crusty and antagonistic. So, you know, they wrote it the way they wrote it, which was cool because my character did evolve from kind of a doubting Thomas, a little bit tough, and he was challenged, and then he became an ally. So he got to evolve. So that was cool.
Awesome. And how have you been, you know, keeping busy during this time of lockdown and pandemic?
Well, that's I think that's everybody's challenge, right? Yeah, I mean, it's you're being challenged as well. Yep. The last, I don't know, half a dozen guys I've talked to in interviews said they've been watching a lot of movies. You know, I haven't been watching any. I've really, you know, the last year or so has been kind of quiet, and it was by my design. There was about 2, 3, 4 years there where I was just banging out film after film after film after film, and I got kind of tired. And so I've been a photographer off and on for a long, long time. And so this time, pretty much, I've been working on all my fine art photography, and, you know, getting my fine art entity and my website up, and it's going through, you know, building that model, trying to get things square. So, you know, when some of this stuff breaks, you know, and hopefully, you know, people will be able to, at some point in time, be able to take a look and buy some nice fine art, you know? So I've been really working a lot on that, and that's been occupying a lot of my time.
That's awesome. So how long have you been doing photography?
Well, I started doing it as a kid, you know, way back, and, you know, photography classes in high school where you had to develop your own black and white and all that kind of stuff. It's been something that I've toyed with off and on for many, many, many years, because I'm 60 now, and that was high school. And I've always had a camera, and I would shoot, you know, when I'd be on location and do stuff and what have you. But, you know, I also, you know, produced records. I played music. I was a studio player for a long time. I've always dabbled in between acting and music pretty much all the time. And then I had a camera, and I would say, you know, the last couple of years, you know, as you get older, the kind of roles that you're presented and are available to you, especially in Hollywood at this moment in time, when you're an old cat, it's very different. And so I felt like I needed to be able to continue to be creative, and use my curiosity, which creativity is. It's just being curious and then manifesting an idea, and then whatever medium that you're involved in, putting that idea onto something, either it's a painting or it's a pottery or if it's jewelry or a rug or whatever the hell it is. You know, art is art. And photography, and high end, really nice landscape stuff, mm-hmm. is stuff that really I like the journey, finding places, the exploration, the hike, finding a place, shooting a place, visiting it, timing it, all that. I find that process really cool because, you know, if you happen to catch that moment and the sky is perfect and the light is perfect and everything is bomb, and then you're there and you can capture it and then try and look at it slightly different, you know, like an actor would look at a character with layers. I try and look at an image with the same type of layers, you know, how can I present this different, and then process it different. It's really fulfilling. And when you get done, you go, damn, that looks pretty cool. Right.
Yeah,
and then you move on to the next one. Because it's not so much when you're finished. The process is the art. The process is the enjoyable part. That's just like in acting, just creating the character, reading the script. I love doing that more than actually filming. Filming is very technical. It's very arduous. There are moments in between that are cool, you know, when you go, oh, that was a great moment. Dude, did you know that? Yeah, you know, and you get the banter and you make some good friends and, you know, and it's very communal. And it's a great experience. It lasts for a short amount of time, and then it's done, and then you move on. Same thing with photos or anything. You know, you work on it, you pen the note, you do the last brush stroke, you look back at it and go, that's pretty cool. And then you're ready for the next stimulus. the next idea, the next muse. So that's kind of where I'm at. And you know, with parts being different these days, some stuff comes at me, and you know, I'm getting very much more particular about things. Mm-hmm. I think over the last couple of years, no, the last year or so, and it's kind of a product of, you know, where I'm at as a character. You know, I'm an old white guy and I'm kind of crusty. Okay. And so a lot of the stuff that I was being presented was, white racist cop, white racist sheriff, white racist detective, Harvey Weinstein, womanizing producer. Those types of things have come at me, and I just don't want to fill that narrative. I just don't want to put myself into the mind of hate. I don't want to be a function in a script or a story that's going to be the impediment or that piece of angry, negative stereotype. And I just don't want to play those types of things. I don't want to do it. And so not, you know, if that's a majority of the stuff that's being presented, well, that means I still need to have a creative muse. I need to have a creative outlet, because that's not going to serve me emotionally. And I just don't want to be part. I just don't want to keep picking at bad scabs, you know? Yeah. So, I've moved over into the photography, and it's, you know, and that puts you in nature, it puts you in life. You know, and it's enjoyable. I just want to do things that are enjoyable. Awesome. That's for sure.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I hope that there's a big audience for this movie. It seems extremely intense. I enjoyed it a lot, and I hope your photography goes well as well.
Well, I thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was a very fun. It was a fun movie to do. You know, it was a big cast, and some of the kids, the Vietnamese kids, the actors. You know, it was their first film, and it's really neat to, you know, kind of almost be somewhat of a mentor. You know, you're one of the older cats, and Mario, me and Mario were the oldest guys in the movie, and they were very open to a lot of things. Their ears and eyes were wide open, and they were sucking in everything, and they had a lot of energy and enthusiasm. It was a lot of fun to do the movie, and I'm really glad that it worked out. And Nick was great, Mario was great, Jess Mezza was great, Glenn Plummer was cool, the kids were awesome, and I hope people like the movie. You know, it's got an interesting storyline that's very appropriate to these days in regards to assimilation, cultural assimilation, and things of that nature. It's got some good messages.
Remember, check out more of my stuff at dysfunctional.com. Follow me and interact with me on social media at dysfunctional on Twitter and Instagram, dysfunctional LA on Facebook, and check out more of my podcasts.